Welcome to Hannah's Heart.
So Hannah, she's just one of the women who did struggle with infertility in the Bible.
No matter who we are, we can be inspired by the fact that Hannah took her pain to God and God heard her and was with her.
So when she was praying at the temple, she had been weeping and not eating, and her lips were moving, but her eyes were closed, and the priest was like, why are you drunk at the temple?
Because it can become an obsession when you want a child so deeply.
And desiring that baby and to be a mama. Every holiday, every Mother's Day.
This is not a show that's going to promise you a certain outcome. But this is a show that says however God answers your cry, we know that He's enough.
Hi, Hannah's Heart family. This is Kendra. Welcome to the show. If you're new to Hannah's Heart, we are a show for couples struggling with infertility or miscarriage or child loss, or you're going through adoption, whatever unique way that God is building your family. We want to go with you on that journey. And I just want to encourage you that God is so incredibly good. Whatever option and path He ends up taking you, I promise it is going to just blow your mind, because He is a good father who only gives good gifts to His children. So you can trust on His character. Today, we have a really exciting guest. And previously, we had Miss Kinsey on to talk about an adoptive baby that she had that she breastfed. And we had lactation consultant Anna Shambly on to talk about that process. But I wanted to go a little deeper into her adoption story, because this family, you guys, if you're in, we're here in Tupelo, Mississippi. If you are anywhere in the like tri-state area, you've probably heard of her family. Or if like you hear the word adoption, like I think pictures come to your mind when you hear the word adoption. Like your face comes to so many people's minds in this area. And your story is so deep. I don't even know how much we're going to unpack today, but we're just going to jump in because it's beautiful. You are a multi-generational adoptive family. So let's jump in on what that means. Okay. All right. You were raised in a family that adoption was not a new concept. So break that down.
The crazy thing is I don't ever remember adoption not being a huge part of our life. Later on, foster care was a huge part of how adoption came to be. But my mom's aunt, who were very formative in her view on adoption, they adopted, I believe, 12 kids.
Wow.
Yes. Internationally, local, through foster care. I mean, they just were out to save everybody. They're amazing, really God-fearing, wonderful people. And just really formed my mom's thoughts on that she wanted to adopt. Not really sure how, you know, back in the 90s, it wasn't as, you know, normal as it is now. That was something they tried to adopt before they had me.
Yeah.
But they weren't married long enough. But so just this calling that she had. And then when I was 11, they decided to start fostering, which is the most beautiful and heartbreaking.
At that point, did you have biological siblings?
Yes, it was just me and my two biological siblings.
Okay, gotcha.
And my parents knew that they wanted to adopt, but did not have the financial means to adopt. And so we're like, okay, God, if you are wanting us to adopt, we're going to have to do it through foster care because we can't afford anything else. I remember my mom years down the road saying, because, you know, foster care is hard, and you don't know. There's no guarantee. And my mom told me when I was telling her how awful she was for putting us through this and what was she even thinking, and she needed to think about the kids in her home. I was not a peach. And she said, Mackenzie, and I just think about the amount of times I think about this. Like, I should have it on a T-shirt. She said, Mackenzie, if the hardest thing God calls you to is to love children that leave, your life is not that hard.
Wow.
And I think maybe I was 13 when
she
told me that.
Say that again, sis. Say that again.
And she said, if the hardest thing, you know, and I just think about that all the time, that there are people dying for Christ in other countries. And I was pitching a hissy fit because I got to love a baby that didn't stay. And it doesn't negate, like, there, I still have heartbreak. It still hurts. And I think my parents have had, it's either 19 or 20 kids come through their home since I was 11.
What?
They adopted 4 of those. And they were open to adopting any child that came into their home. Those were my 4 adopted siblings were the only ones that came up for adoption.
Wow.
And I love all of them dearly, but my two sisters, mm-hmm. I was 12 and 14 mm-hmm. When we got them. Mm-hmm. And even though my mom let me think I was more of a mom to them than I was, you know, now that I'm an actual mom, I was like, I really didn't do that much, but I thought I did. But from the moment I held Lexi, who is the oldest of the adopted, my mom calls us the bigs and the littles. Okay. So the oldest of the littles, the first time I held her, I was like, This is it. Like, this is what I want. Mm. And that was when I decided, like, I was called to adoption at 12. And that was just, that's how I was going to grow a family. I told my mom, I was like, Mom, you know, if I have to marry somebody and they don't want to adopt, I guess I'm not marrying them. Like, it was just
a deal breaker.
Yes. Like, I felt like it was God's calling on my life. Mm. And then, so funny thing is, I knew my husband during this time. We met when we were 8, mm-hmm. And so kind of grew up together. We're really close friends. My mom introduced his mom to two of his sisters.
Okay.
And they got licensed to foster to get them and became an adoptive and fostering family. And now he has... He has 4 adopted siblings in foster care.
Double.
Yes. So we just both sides. And so that was... you know, our, I guess maybe 11 to like, mm-hmm. through high school, that mm-hmm. was a pretty big part of our life. And so we had so many social workers that were like, oh, we can't wait till y'all grow up and get married. You're mm-hmm. just going to be the dream, you know, foster family. And I was like, absolutely not. Never.
To foster.
Yes.
You're like, adopt like, maybe.
I was like, foster, I know what my mom mm-hmm. said and it's true and I love it, but no, mm-hmm. I'm not. Like,
because of the heart ripping.
Yes. I was like, I will adopt. God has called me to adopt, but there's no way God would call me to do this. Yeah. I've done my duty. I've done my heartbreak. And, you know, I remember, which now as a mom that is fostered, I get it, but I remember my dad opening the bedroom door of their mm-hmm. room when they were fostering and we'd had a little boy for 2 years and he left. And mm-hmm. my mom was laying on the bathroom floor sobbing and my dad was going in there to pick her off the floor to put her in the bed. And I just remember thinking like, that can't be God's plan. Like mm-hmm. that's not right. Mm-hmm. But it is like God calls us to hard things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my husband says, and I think he got it from somebody else, but he said that God whispers to you in your joy and he yells to you in your sorrow. And I don't think that you can understand what that means until you've been through sorrow. Like you hear God, he's with you more prevalently when you're going through these hard things. Mm-hmm. And I think that the foster and adoptive journey through my years before having kids and my years having kids, we couldn't have done it without Christ. And it's just brought us closer. And that's kind of been which it should be our mm-hmm. rock anyway, but mm-hmm. that's with our kids. It's like, you know, how is God going to use this to glorify him, mm-hmm. whether it hurts? I feel like I'm jumping, but with mm-hmm. our boys, they were older when mm-hmm. we adopted them and they were older when we got them as well. And it was this hard transition. They came to us from another foster home too, mm-hmm. where they'd been almost 2 years. Mm. So, I mean, it was just years of moving, unsteadiness, like why me? Like, mm-hmm. why me? And I, you know, we found, I believe it's in Egypt or China. I could be completely wrong.
One of those countries.
when something breaks, they fix it with gold.
Mm. And yes, fill in the
cracks. And so I told the boys one time, it was Ethan. He's our one. He's our fruit producer. he is the most rewarding kid, but he put us through the ringer in lots of ways. And it was a really bad moment. And he was just like, what's the point? Why doesn't, you know, why would God do this mm-hmm. to me? Like, you know, why would God take me from my family mm-hmm. and not somebody else? Oof. Like, you know, and I said, you know, we don't know why God does what he does, but he is good. And I said, and we can either take these broken pieces, and that could be for infertility. It's mm-hmm. not just for adoption, that struggle. Whatever is happening to you, you can either let God use it to glorify him mm. and you can, you know, make your brokenness shine like gold mm. or you can be bitter and people are going to see you for that. And you know, I told you that's a choice and you don't have to be happy. You don't mm-hmm. have to understand it, but you mm-hmm. can choose to know that God is good and let people see him through your sorrow and through your hurting and through your journey. And I think that, you know, has been a big part of our journey is that whether we see it now or mm-hmm. see it ever, or maybe we won't see it until we're in heaven, but that there is a reason for every single thing that God puts you and your, you know, children through.
Wow. And Ethan is, you told me this off air, he was the one that told you when you went on the show today, Mom, tell him the bad stuff.
Yes,
too.
Yes.
It's not all perfect, but it's all part of our story.
Yes, I did. I asked my two older boys, I did ask their permission because there's a lot of stuff.
It's their story too.
That's my oldest was making fun of my middle son, Ethan. My oldest is Matt and my middle is Ethan. And he said, you gonna tell him about the time Ethan punched you in the face?
We're gonna get into that right now.
And I said, and Ethan was like, you probably should.
Yeah.
But anyway, no, but you know, he was hurting. We had a visit, and this is, I mean, it's kind of jumping around, but just a little picture of they are amazing kids. They are, God has a plan for them. They are not broken, but they are broken.
Yes.
And when, I mean, I feel like, I mean, as an adult, when something doesn't go my way, I get upset or I, you know, we had a visit with their birth mom and she told them that we were lying to them, that we were keeping them from her, that if he would just act out, that they would get to come home
would,
I mean, just as a mom, like I, like she, and this is what we tell them always, because I never want to talk poorly of her, no matter how poorly I think of her, because she is one of God's children too. You know, hopefully the Lord has a plan. He does have a plan for her, but hopefully
she responds to it.
But you know, she loves them the only way that she can. And I told Ethan that. I was like, you know, she loves you as much as a mom can love you, but they can't take care of you. And he goes, oh, so she's selfish. And I said, yes, you know, Christ's love is selfless love, and that's what being a parent is. It's not, I don't think being a parent is giving birth, because there are plenty of people that give birth that are not parents. Being a parent is loving someone more than you love yourself.
Yeah.
It's just that selfless love. But anyway, so came off of that visit, and Ethan just got mad and was lashing out, and I mean, just sucker punched me right in the face. And I mean, busted my lip. I mean, my husband wasn't there. We were at the beach, and he punched me in the car, like, parking garage. And so I'm, like, dragging this kid, kicking and screaming. It is a hot mess. And I just put him in the room, and I was like, you know, I love you. I'm not mad at you, but this is unacceptable. You know, we're just going to take a minute. And my husband was like, I'll get there when I get there. Just, you know, I'm coming. But it was so sad and so hard, but the crazy thing is it grew us. Every time we had an outburst with him, and it was often, and my husband would have to just like straitjacket him or whatever, the things that we had to do, it just, we always, 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 no matter how upset we pulled it back to, Ethan, God has a plan for you. God chose us for this reason. You know, God put you here. And, you know, we've been unpacking things years down the road, and he goes, he's like, you know, were you just like so mad at me, or, you know, did you hate this or whatever, where, you know, and I said, no, like, like I knew no matter how much it hurt me that you were hurting more. And, and when we called the worker, I had, cause when he punched me, I grabbed him up under the arm, and I just marched him, and he had some little bruises from me grabbing his arm. So I called the worker to be like, hey, you know, and so she goes, so when do I have to move him? And that, and she thought, and I, and just heartbreaking that she's like, they did something bad, so now you don't want them. And I was like, absolutely not. Like, I just want you to know, if he, you know, if he does this again, like, there's going to be more punishment than just a talking to. Like, you can't, you know, punch your, you know, mom in the face, or, you know, a woman in general. That was the biggest thing, you know, but there's such this stigma on older kids, and that they are going to do bad things, or, you know, oh, well, they've been through it. And I say that because that was like one of our biggest things, and we moved past it. It brought us closer. We look back at it now and we laugh about it. And we, and it was such a moment where he was like, you know, you still loved me. I was like, yes, I did. Like, I never stopped loving you. I just wish that my lip wasn't bleeding. But you know, it's just, it's, I feel like with older kids, like they, it has, which I guess the biggest blessing through all of this is they have both come to accept Christ. They are actually, yes, they are actually going to be baptized this Sunday, both of my older boys. And my husband's going to baptize them, which is just the most, like, if that, if that is all, if that is it, then we did our job. You know, like, that is, that's what matters. And, you know, I just, I think that they have had this, I don't want to say blessing because mm-hmm. it's not a blessing that they were taken. It's mm-hmm. not a blessing that they went through all of this, but they will understand God's grace and God's love mm-hmm. unlike I will ever be mm-hmm. able to because of what they've been through. Mm. And it's just, they have touched so many people's lives with mm. their story and their response. If you know them or if you ever got to meet them, they are the most joyful, like mm. loving kids. Like they are, they're just kind. Yeah. They are kind. And, you know, and I think that God's, I tell them all the time, you know, I don't know what mm-hmm. it's going to be yet, but mm-hmm. he's already using you and he's going to use you in big ways. Mm-hmm. And as long as you can just see that every bad thing mm-hmm. that you've been through is going to bless somebody else, mm. you know, and there are people that are going to go through way easier things and mm-hmm. way harder things, but like, this is what God's called you to and what he's called us to. And, wow. You know, not that it's easy and we still have these hard moments, but it's worth it. Mm-hmm. It's worth it. You know,
Kinzie, I know you said you thought that you were jumping around, but without even realizing it, you are hitting on almost every fear that a future adoptive mom might have, and then God's grace that covered it. So you talked about how there's this fear of a failed placement, you know, and falling in love with it, and God's grace is sufficient. He picked you up the floor. Off air, you told me about your first, that you thought you were going to have a placement and you fell apart in, was it Kroger?
Yes, part? Just where was it? The bread aisle at Kroger and solved.
Because you had plans yes. for these children yes. that were going to be coming into your house, and then it didn't work out. Then you talked about just a lot of couples are concerned about, I'm going to use the word baggage. You know, it's like, mm-hmm. oh, if I get an older kid, they come with this baggage, mm-hmm. right? And you just addressed that. We all have baggage. And yes, you used the word broken, you know, that we all have a level of brokenness in us, whether they're biological or not. But now with your kids accepting Christ, some people are concerned, I think, if I adopt older children, like, am I going to have as much time to help them accept Christ? Like, what mm-hmm. if they don't? What if they go into drugs and alcohol and they go down this path? Like, if I, you know, I have more quote unquote control if they're born to me. Can you address that?
Well, yeah, and I wish my husband could talk because he just has the most perfectly timed words mm-hmm. sometimes, and mm-hmm. And he has said, you know, my youngest adopted son Mario, mm-hmm. he is just full of all the questions, and he mm-hmm. goes, oh, don't you wish you had me when I was a baby mom? And I was like, oh, you know, I do. And then mm-hmm. my husband, he was like, you know, he said, no. He said, mm-hmm. I got you right when God wanted me to.
Amen.
You know, and I think that, you know, we want to stress about these things that are out of our control, mm-hmm. you know, and whether it's adopted or biological, it doesn't matter. Like, you can't control the way your biological kid turns out. I know
they may not serve Christ.
I know we've had some issues with my oldest, and he knows. I told him, I was like, I'm going to talk about some stuff about you, you know, but it's teenage stuff. But then I have a mom friend, wonderful Christian family, all biological kids. And she was like, let me tell you what mine's doing. Mm. You know, and it's just, it doesn't matter whether you get them at 16 or mm-hmm. one, or you gave birth to them, you know, they're human and they're sinful and they're going to struggle.
Sin nature is a sin nature.
Yes. And I think that, you know, it's not going to surprise God if you adopt. It's not going to surprise God if you get an older child. Right. And so I think that it's God's timing.
That is a beautiful answer.
You know, that's just something that you can fall back into when you feel inadequate, when you feel like you don't have the time. Like, you know, God's timing is perfect and he'll give you what you need in that, and just to rest in that, I think.
Okay, so another fear parents sometimes have is, will we ever feel like a family? Will we ever really, truly bond? Tell me about, you have a Gotcha Day, but you have another day that you guys celebrate in your family.
We have Ohana Day.
Okay.
And it's a big term we use in our house. We actually, when my boys were adopted, we did an adoption party because for them, with my youngest little girl, it was all happiness. Mm-hmm. We picked her up at the NICU, but with my boys, it was not just happy, it was sad. It was the ending of a family that they knew. But we wanted to give them something happy to remember it by. So we had an Ohana party. Mm-hmm. It's a different kind of, we called it a different kind of family celebration. And Ohana Day is the day that
Does that mean family in Hawaiian?
Yes, right. Ohana. Well, it's from Lilo and Stitch.
Oh, okay.
That's where we got it. Ohana means family, and family means no one gets left behind or forgotten. And that's what we told the boys is, we're like, whether you love us or not, whether you want us to be your mom and dad, you're never leaving us.
And you're like, you don't have to use the term mom and dad yet.
Yes,
you know,
but we're your Ohana. And I, that was honestly, at the time, that was for me, because I just, I wanted to be a mom so badly, and I was, but they did not want me to be their mom. There was a lot of baggage in that department. I mean, and I mean, baggage is a good word, because it was, and they clicked a lot quicker with my husband, because they had an absent father. It wasn't, they're so loyal, and they're so loving, and they love their birth mom, and they always will. And I think for me, I had to accept that I'm never going to replace her.
Right.
But I don't want to. I want to be something different for them, because no matter how much they love her, she never put them first and never took care of their needs. And so if I needed to be Kinsey, if I needed to be Ohana, I needed to be what God needed them to have, not me being called a mom, because that's what selfishly I needed. But so now that's, so my
and
big.
And that is the true definition of being a mom.
Yes, so my big, and we know we have all the dates. My big boys, their Ohana Day is October 30th. My youngest adopted son, his Ohana Day is December 16th. And then Love, her Ohana Day is November 30th.
It's okay.
I had to think about it.
You got 5 kids in 2 years.
Yes. So so it's just, I think that it is with having older kids, I think when you get handed a baby, you immediately are going to feel like a family.
Sure.
And I think with our big boys, it was different and it was harder, but it was also special, because we woke up every day and chose to love them. It didn't always come easy. Yeah. And there were days when I was like, this is never, I'm going to make it work, but it's not going to, because they don't want it. And we just woke up every day. Yeah. And there were times when Ryan and I would look at each other and he was like, we just got to make it to the end of the day.
Yeah.
We've just got to love them through today.
Yeah.
And that's what we did. And, you know, and I would say we did not really have a full settling with our big boys until they were adopted.
Wow.
And that's when, for my oldest, he was like, we're a family now. His name was Nate when we got him. And we told them that when they were adopted, that if they wanted to, that they were going to have our last name, but that their first name was a piece of their birth mom, and that their last name was a piece of us, and that they could pick their middle name.
I love it.
To give them some control.
Sure.
And so, my middle son said that he wanted their godparents were their foster family before us, who, that's a whole nother story of just God's story and weaving and just beauty. But he said, well, I want a piece of my mom, and I want a piece of you, and I want a piece of them. And so his middle name is their last name. So he's Ethan Winter Kilo. But my oldest was like, I don't, I want a new life. I want my dad's name. I want to be Matthew Jr.
Aww.
And my husband was like, no, that's weird. Like, you know, you're a teenager. You can't just change your name. Yeah. And then he thought about it and he was like, are you sure? And he's like, no, you're my dad. Like, I want my dad's name.
Aww.
And I feel like that was just such a beautiful picture of, you know, that how we're new in Christ.
Yeah. And so your husband's name is
Matthew Ryan.
Matthew
Kilo.
Ryan. Okay.
Matt is Matthew Ryan Kilo.
Gotcha. Okay.
And so, you know, when he was adopted, he was like, I've got my dad's name. Like, this is my dad. I am his. He is mine. Like, this is it. And then for Ethan, we talked about this last night with him. We were talking, and it was when we adopted their little sister.
Okay.
Or not when we adopted her, when we picked her up from the hospital and brought her home, and she was a foster baby. That is when we became a family.
Because he got to experience the way that you accepted.
Yes.
And so that's what they did for me. And they made room in their life.
Exactly. And I think for him too, like we were, he was loving her and we were loving her. Mm-hmm. And it was just this full circle of like, we are a family. Like she very much kind of tied us together.
Mm-hmm.
And not that you have to adopt multiple kids for that to happen. I think it would have come with time. But I think that every single adoption journey, infertility, every journey is so different, but God has his hand on all of it.
Okay, Kinsey, one more question, and this has to be like 60-second answer,
because
we're almost out of time. But now you have had a biological child at the end of this journey. It was a surprise, unexpected.
people who say, will I ever love adopted children as my own? That's question number one. And two, was there any jealousy of the adopted children?
That's such a great question. So my brain loves all of them exactly the same. Mm-hmm. And my heart loves them exactly the same. Now, I have my big kids even know this, that it's almost like my body, I guess biologically the way I was made, I can sense things with him sometimes, which may sound crazy.
Sure.
Not, sometimes I feel differently, but not about the way I love him, just about the way I react to him sometimes. And that's even with, because Love was adopted as a baby.
Yeah.
The boys were adopted big.
Yeah.
Even from her,
wow.
I love them all the same, but sometimes like, I'm like, something's wrong with Murphy. And there is. And it's just like, I can sense it. But I think that, what was the other question?
So are they, have they, they're jealousy or they're
no, like honestly, Mario, my youngest adopted one, thinks that they're biological siblings.
That's hysterical.
I think that just like all kids, there's some vying for attention.
Sure.
But no, every time we have added someone to our family, God has just used it to bring us closer to just weave his story through us.
I could talk to you all day. We're going to have you come back because there's so much more to unpack. Thank you so much for sharing your story, being vulnerable, and praise God for the beautiful story that is being woven in your family. And I know it's not even over yet.
I hope not.
Anyone who's listening, be encouraged. Whatever God's plan is for you, it is beautiful. If God calls you to adoption, you may think it's the plan B, and it's actually God's plan A, but it's going to be beautiful if that's what God has for you. Thanks for listening to Hannah's Heart.